Hey everyone, Jesse Jackson here, and I'm announcing a contest. Starting now through the end of February, all you have to do to win a copy of Nikki Germain's Springsteen at Liberty Hall is to go to iTunes and leave a review for the podcast. Hopefully a good one. I would love nothing but 5 stars in a 3 or 4 sentence review about why you love the podcast and why other people should listen to the podcast. Once you post it, send me a screenshot of your review. Email it to setlustingbruce@gmail.com. And everyone who submits that review, a screenshot of that review, will be entered into a drawing to win Nikki's book. If you include your mailing address, I will send you a Set Lusting Bruce sticker as a way of saying thank you. So that's all it needs. Go iTunes, rate and review the show, make a screenshot, email it, setlustingbruce@gmail.com, and who knows, you might be enjoying this wonderful book absolutely free. And now, let's get the show going.
When I was a teenager, I knew I wanted to do this professionally, and the first thing I was really enamored with was being an engineer, recording, mixing, and producing.
Okay.
And so all of that, and it wasn't until later that I felt empowered that I wanted to create my own music and be in front, if you will, also do that.
Yeah.
And yeah, but it was just coming through me as a teenager. And I would record my friend's band in high school and do that kind of stuff. I just enjoyed it.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to a new episode of Set Lusting Bruce, your podcast all about Bruce Springsteen, his music, and mostly his fans. I am your host, Jesse Jackson. We are getting off the Bruce train today, though I'm sure he will come up, as he often does. And we are talking music, the healing power of music, and with my friend Greg, who had me on his podcast. And in a lovely gesture of camaraderie, has agreed to join me on mine. Greg, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much. Happy to be here.
Yeah. Tell us a little about yourself.
Sure. I'm a music producer and also a visual artist and play multiple instruments. I'm a songwriter and worked in the mainstream music industry for over 20 years. Started as a sound engineer and eventually became producer, songwriter, and also create music for mental health and wellness and healing. And I found how to do that through different musical tunings and binaural mixing techniques, and to do that through ambient music, and also to do that with any genre of music. So anything I produce now for myself or for other artists is in these tunings and with these binaural techniques with this type of wellness in mind. So we can have an art experience, but also give ourselves a balancing experience through our body.
Yeah, Greg, I'm really looking forward to diving into that a little bit more, because I think subconsciously all of us have that song "When You Are Blue" that you play to either cheer you up or to double down on the sorrow, right? I remember when I was told, I was young, and I was madly in love with a girl, and she had told me that, hey, I just don't feel that same way about you that you feel about me. And I went home to my apartment and put on Different Drum by Linda Ronstadt just on repeat. I'm not saying you ain't pretty, but I'm not saying I'm not ready for a boy who wants to love me like that. And I just over and over that song, just wallowing in the sorrow. So I want to, we're going to visit a little bit more about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So let's go to the beginning. Where did you grow up? And what kind of music did your family listen to?
Okay. Yeah. I grew up in New Jersey and close to Philadelphia. And my family always was playing jazz. I remember WWJZ was the radio station. I don't think they ever turned that off. And it was quite interesting when I consider it in hindsight, because that station was playing some really great music. But for some reason, for me, because it was framed in this smooth jazz kind of way, which not so much a genre I particularly appreciate. I appreciate a lot of genres, but they were playing Steely Dan and other groups like that, which I do really love. So it was interesting to be exposed to that at a young age and then later appreciate it more, some of the groups and music that would play on this station.
Were your family big musicians, fans of music?
Big fans of music, but not musicians.
Okay.
Yeah.
And when did you know you wanted to make music?
My mom says I asked her for piano lessons when I was 2 years old.
Wow.
And then I played the saxophone for a short while. I was never really a good practicer, and they seemed to really be really enamored with computers and very good with them. Mm-hmm. So when I was a teenager, I asked to acquire some different digital audio workstations, if you will, like Pro Tools and Logic, things like that we can create music in. And I did, and I set myself up a little studio in the basement of the house and some keyboards and some different things, and just went at it. We just study different types of songs and try to remake them. Failure pretty much every time. It was like, wow, back then. Cake, my God. And I don't know, it just was something that was just, it was just coming through me. I was just so passionate about it. I really can't explain it.
Is there an instrument that you specifically felt a call for? I know you talked about piano lessons and saxophone. Yeah. Was there an instrument that spoke to you?
I'd say always piano, keyboards, but a lot of instruments, and I have a lot, and now I play a lot. Not all of them that great, but I get around enough to make sounds with them. I play guitar and bass fairly well. I sing clarinet, flutes, and harmonicas. So it started to expand. I really love so many types of instruments. They all speak to me, yeah.
You talked about growing up near Philly, Jersey. So talk about your Springsteen connections. Obviously, you knew of him because it's in the water there, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. I never attended a show or anything that I can remember, but he's an amazing songwriter, and I enjoy his music, and I really respect maybe even more so his story of his fortitude, if you will, his tenacity to make that work for himself.
Yeah.
And I know it didn't come easy for him, and he really worked. And so I can understand that story, and I really respect that.
So are there favorite musicians that you have a special place in your heart?
Yeah, absolutely. Sure. Yeah. Definitely Radiohead, the guys at Radiohead, Tom York and Johnny Greenwood and the rest of the guys. Brilliant. Anyone doing anything unique really speaks to me. But so many amazing musicians in so many genres over the years. I could say Billy Joel, I could say Elton John, Chicago, There's such a list. I can get into all the jazz cats, Charlie
Sure.
Parker and all that. There's just
Yeah.
so yeah.
When you are, going through, what was your pathway? What was your of doing this professionally? Is that something you knew you wanted to do and you wanted to be not only in front of the mic, but behind the mic as well?
Yeah, when I was a teenager, I knew I wanted to do this professionally. And the first thing I was really enamored with was being an engineer, recording, mixing, and producing.
Okay.
And so all of that. And it wasn't until later that I felt empowered that I wanted to create my own music and be in front, if you will, also do that.
Yeah.
And yeah, but it was just coming through me as a teenager. And I would record my friend's band in high school and do that kind of stuff. I just enjoyed it.
So I'm curious, Greg, the idea of the technical part of music, can you explain why that was piqued your interest versus just writing and singing or performing?
I don't know exactly, but I do know that I do feel we're all destined for certain things. We all have the proclivity for certain creative outlets. And I will say my demeanor tends to lean towards a bit more like ADD and like action. And so clicking around the computer and having this immediate action is like extremely gratifying for me. And practicing and taking this being like calm and a slower approach to some things, I'm fidgety. That was probably part of it. Yeah.
Hey, Pantheon listeners, Christian Swain here, taking a break from listening to a little Shout It Out Loudcast episode. Love Tom and Zeus talking all things Kiss. Of course, I was listening to them on my new Raycon wireless earbuds. They have quickly become my go-to earbuds because of the comfort. These soft tips are the best I've ever used. And at this price, plus a Pantheon discount, Raycon is really hitting on all marks. Sound quality is great too. I really love having these three EQ options because I like more bass in the music, but less in my podcast. 8 hours of playtime for the battery is great as well. Surround sound, noise isolating, and awareness mode are all included. These are great earbuds. Go to buyraycon.com/pantheon today to get 20% off your Raycon order plus free shipping. That's right, you'll get 20% off and free shipping at buyraycon.com/pantheon. buyraycon.com/pantheon. Pantheon. Hey, Pantheon listeners, Christian Swain here. Another day, another podcast I'm working on. This time, it's Famous and Gravy with Amit and Michael. I want to let you know that I loved the Factor Meals package so much that I re-upped for myself, and then I sent a package to my in-laws. Like I was with my first shipment from Factor Meals, the in-laws were as excited to try one of the prepared restaurant quality meals. Well, they got the shipment of Protein Plus meal plan and were very impressed. See, being in their 80s, anything to make the meal prep easy is a plus for them. They heated the oven per instructions and minutes later were enjoying a very delicious, nutritious, and dietitian approved meal. One big win for me. But what really floored them was the taste. Like I told you, it's surprising how good these meals taste. Restaurant quality indeed. And like my own shipment, it really was everything Factor Meals said it would be for some seniors. No prep, no mess meals. Factor Meals are 100% ready to heat and eat. Take it from me and my in-laws. Head to factormeals.com/pantheon50 and use the code Pantheon50 to get 50% off. That's factormeals.com/pantheon50 and use the code Pantheon50 to get 50% off. Thank you, Factor Meals.
What was your first professional gig?
First professional gig. I was an assistant at a studio in Philadelphia, and probably with the someone that would be known would be some people from Rockefeller Records, hip hop music.
Okay.
There's an artist named Freeway. It's a rapper. And I was just an assistant on those types of sessions. And then once I got out to Los Angeles, I started working for other producers. And probably if I can remember correctly, there was a lot of pieces to this, but probably the biggest one would probably be Snoop Dogg when I was around 22 years old.
Wow, that had to be pretty impressive, right?
Yeah, that was fun. Yeah. Yeah, it was just right place, right time. I was an assistant at the time, but the producer that was working with him, he really liked me. So he started bringing me as his engineer to all the gigs. And we did that for probably about 4 to 5 years, just doing a lot of Snoop and a lot, many other artists that came through that.
Do you have a favorite genre you like to work with, or do all of them have different various things that bring joy to different things, correct?
Yeah. Over the years, it's all been enjoyable to work on hip hop music, pop, jazz.
Okay.
And all of that. But I will say now, I still enjoy producing from that objective perspective where I can see what this is. I see what's coming through this artist and I can help support that. I do still enjoy that. But then even deeper is when I really love the music. Like I really want to play this later. And that sound probably leans more into the electronic sort of psychedelic Radiohead kind of world, or it's going to lean more into Bonobo kind of deep house world. Mm-hmm. Or maybe it's Sakamoto, like dreamy ambient orchestral kind of thing going on. So something like that. So I still like a bit of both, if you will.
You've name dropped Snoop. You mentioned you've worked with a couple other people that are pretty high profile, haven't you?
Yes.
Brag a little bit. Tell me some stories.
Yeah. So yeah, most of that as an engineer early on, Patti LaBelle, that was probably one of the most profound experiences working with Patti. And just
tell me how.
When she sings in front of you, it's otherworldly. It's spiritual. It feels like it's coming from another dimension, which it might be. And when you capture that as a recording and you play it back, you cannot fully capture what that voice feels like in the room. You can't fully get it on record. It sounds amazing on record, but there's something spiritual there. Wow. So that was profound. And Amy Winehouse, I didn't even know who she was at the time. And she was very interesting, I will say, and very brilliant. And I was an engineer on some of those sessions. And then there was many other producers that I worked with, like Teddy Riley and Scott Storch. It's like a pop and hip hop producer. These guys are genius. I didn't realize till later that I was like learning the whole time from watching them, from being the engineer and doing my thing. And I was just always impressed with everyone's work ethic and the depth and the care that they put into the craft. No matter the genre that it was, people put in some really serious work and they have really serious study and know-how. That's impressive.
Greg, you talking about Patti, like,
yeah,
we may do all we want, but there, if we could capture that magic that's in that studio. And this is the reason why live music continues to be exciting and wonderful for us, right? So I'm always curious when I get someone who's behind the console and talks about this. Tell me how you differ between producing and engineering. Sure. What, and I know the one of them is more mechanical, one more theory, but I'd love to hear your thoughts on how the two difference and how they use different, what skill sets are used for each of them.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah, so typically engineering is focused on the recording process, mic placement, and which microphones and preamps and compressors and such chains of gear to use with specific instruments. And then in that role, you are running the console, running the tape machine, or running the digital audio workstation and organizing the takes and keeping the show running, if you will, from the technical standpoint. From a producer side, typically it's more about performance, arrangement, maybe writing parts, maybe editing parts, and working with the artist to gather performance, whether it be instrumental performance or vocal performance. And then the overall picture of the song in terms of working with the engineer, if you're not mixing yourself, to capture that full picture of the sound.
Is there one you enjoy more than the other?
These days, they're all wrapped. They're fully wrapped together.
Are they?
Yeah, and I like that. I don't want to just be an engineer anymore. I did that. I got bored. So it had to evolve. And me just being a producer, working with another engineer, I'm happy to do some of that. But I feel disjointed from the project. I'm the kind of person who likes to, I got to have my hands all in it. And that's just how I work and how I like to do it. So everything wrapped together feels really good for me.
Okay. So let's talk a little bit of, as you're going through your career, what led you to trying to find a way to provide comfort to people through music? What led to this thought?
I actually quit doing music in the mainstream industry for about 6 years. I wasn't happy with the, I don't know, I just didn't like, I didn't like the music. I started to not like the music. I didn't like the environment. Okay. I was feeling heavy or negative at some points. Maybe that was in me. Maybe that was actually happening. I think it was probably a bit of both. And in that time, I was seeking things for my own mental health. And whether that be psychology, working with psychedelics, meditation, yoga, etc. And one of the things that I researched was using sound to help focus, to help ease anxiety, help with sleep. So binaural waves, music tuned to 432 hertz, things like that. So I started listening to other people's versions of that. And I was having a great effect to this. So I just started to become more and more curious and researching different types of instruments that were typically used in sound healing, crystal bowls and different types of chimes and things of this nature. And at some point, just felt like I want to create something that puts all this together, all this science and all the metaphysics that I've been studying and reading about. So that's when I embarked on creating this music. And I started that with a friend of mine, Andrew. And then eventually we brought another friend in to complete this first body of work with us. And I started giving this out to our friends that were working in healing, or maybe they're body workers, massage, acupuncture, whatever. And then the rave reviews, they're like, this is magic. Like, it just transforms the room, the space, and my clients, my patients are just so calm. They feel so wonderful after. Said, okay, this is interesting. So from there, I felt like this is really powerful. It's transformative what this is. It's like really like almost medicine, if you will, in a vibrational form. And then again, it was something just coming through me that was feeling like people need this. And this is hard to find. Yeah, there's a lot of music on YouTube, Spotify, everywhere. And there's some music like this. But I also am a believer of if your grandmother makes that dish a certain type of way, and maybe someone else tries to make, maybe you try to make it, has the same ingredients, but where's out of something in the magic? And I felt like I was striking some of that magic. And so I felt this is where it came to start to put this into, to create more of it and put it into an app form and start to just be able to bring it out to more people. Bring it out to people who have no idea what this is, and remove all the sort of esoteric, super metaphysical artwork and stuff that might be off-putting to some people, and get it in a digestible form.
Have you tried to look under the hood and figure out why this is working?
Why the music is working?
Yes.
From a psychological perspective?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Essentially, we're balancing brainwaves and brain hemispheres. And that's one part of it. And if we get into the metaphysical part, then we're creating perfect geometry using the sound waves. So if we start measuring those waves on like a vector scope or a cymoscope, we start to see this perfect geometry. And to me, that says harmony. If we start to see some distortion, then to me that says some disharmony.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are the things. And I've done a number of tests over like with heart rate variability and cognitive function and a number of metrics like that. And they've all been positive, very impressive results. It's very interesting.
Yeah. So what's next? What's next you want to do with this?
Next is now, and that is getting this music out to people who need it, and that's through this app I developed called Signs, like sine waves, S-I-N-E-S, and yeah, bringing that out everywhere. That's one expression of it, and of course I have my other art expressions for myself, and those have their own channels.
Mm-hmm. And what the app's available, I get it wherever they're available, right?
Signs.app. The journey should start at the website, www.signs.app. And then from there, through the sign up, then you'll be led to the app store. I just have an Apple app at the moment, and we're building the Android app. But there's also a web app that works on Android now, all computers and tablets and all that. So it's very accessible. And I've been working with wellness centers and corporations and airports and law enforcement and first responders, and universities, and just bringing this out everywhere. And people are really seeing tremendous value from it. And earlier today, actually, I gave a talk to about 55 people from different companies in India through an employee benefits company that services these other different companies. And one of the participants, I played some music during the within the talk, and one of the participants said they're a longtime meditator. They've studied the Vipassana meditation, which I've studied as well, which is fully silent. And if you go on the retreat, it's 10 days minimum, no talking, 12 hours a day meditation. And this guy said, your music took me to that place in 2 minutes.
Wow.
And so he got it. And that was it. It's doing the work for you. It's doing a lot of the heavy lifting because we're so busy.
Yeah.
And not everyone is going to go like me to the forest and meditate with monks for 12 hours a day. Some people, it's just not feasible. You have children and all types of things happening. So to have something that can do this, that we can just click a button, turn on, even if we're at the office, I think is a tremendous tool.
I was going to ask, is this something you do actively, or can this be you can put this in the background and move forward?
Exactly.
It's background and just move forward.
Mm-hmm. You can do both. So either one, but that's the beauty of it, where you can put it on the background super low. You can put on a focus playlist, or you can do it for sleep or just to balance. That's really the beauty of it, even in a work environment, mm-hmm. is that it just is creating this harmony for you at a subtle level.
Okay. Give me, if you have some other success stories, I'd love to know about it. Share a little bit.
Oh, sure. With the music?
Yeah.
With the healing music? Sure.
Yes, please.
People have been born to the music. People have died to the music.
Wow.
And I'm sure there's other music people have been born to and died to as well, of course. But I do get some of those stories sometimes. And then it comes with this really set the backdrop for us. It was really beautiful. It really helped the experience. And it's, whoa, okay. Life came in and life left on this. Wow, this is profound. Children with ADHD, autism, any type of neurodivergence, elderly with dementia, Alzheimer's, I've heard incredible results across the board there. People just improving their circumstances. And wow, people shedding anxiety and depression and all of that. And yeah, we've done a number of studies in different sectors of industry and business, like I said, with veterans, with law enforcement, active military, across the board, many industries, and just really exceptional results overall. It's something to go to when the feeling arises. Maybe someone is actively going through something, or maybe some people are actively going through anxiety or depression. It comes in waves. Or maybe there's a trauma that has been recent, or maybe it's a past trauma and this comes up and then it will take them down the day. They're able to hit play and move that out.
So one of the things that I'm really glad you're on with me is that I often say when I'm pitching my podcast that we discuss the power and the magic of rock and roll. That music is the soundtrack of our lives, that we celebrate to it, we mourn with it, it has helped us with births, deaths, breakups, weddings. And so I love that. I just went to the website while you were talking. You offer a 7-day free trial.
Yep.
And you can test it and see for it, right?
That's it. Exactly. Yeah.
And this is a dumb question, but I'm curious, you know, this has to be something you had never thought you'd be involved in, right? This was not on your bingo card that I'm going to create an app to help people cope their life better.
not until 6 years ago.
Yeah.
It just came through, but I feel like at least my life, I feel like probably most of our lives is that I'm very much about walk on the way and the way appears.
Oh, I love that. Yeah, that's really nice. Let's talk a little bit more. You mentioned this is something you're really looking forward. And is this kind of your focus creatively now all the way together? This is what you want? This is what your career is, your library, your purpose?
It's one of them.
Okay.
That's one of them. Yeah. Still working as a producer.
Okay.
That's paying some of the app bills.
Okay. Yes.
At the moment. Yeah, because it's primarily a self-funded project. I do have a few lovely angels, family, friends that have contributed. But yeah, also other expressions for me are me as a musical artist and other music, electronic music of different types that I really to streaming and live performance of that, which is, it is at a technical level, all healing tunings and all of that, but I may make different sounds that may not be so appropriate for a focused meditation or something like that. So that's me allowing me to express art. And then I also create visual art as well that works with the brain and the body, but it is art, but woven into it, the technology I use, I work with EMDR. Therapy and that kind of thing. Some of that will go on the app. Other, I do show that at art fairs and things like that. I have 3 to 4 pillars, if you will, app included that are in my life right now. I can't really see myself not doing any of them.
Yeah, what talk about your visual art?
Yeah, sure. It's some of it is color gradient based, different types of color gradients, and then it's graphic art, it's digital, and then I have video art that I take these graphics and I animate them, and the movements, I tend to move them in, let's say, like a theta brainwave state pattern and speed, and then I couple that with the music. So now we have, and then I weave in these EMDR layers that are subliminal. So if any EMDR is a stimuli that's moving back and forth at a certain brainwave pattern, and as you watch, it starts to synchronize your brain hemispheres. So I put that in subliminally. So most of these are made to be like larger installations on huge LED walls that people can go and experience with spatial audio and drop into this audio visual meditation that's an art experience, but it is balancing their brain and their body.
And if someone wants to see your art, more about that, where do they go?
Yeah, they can go to my website, and that's gregpapania.com, or even easier to remember, maybe is echoesofstarlight.com.
Okay.
Either one will take them there.
Where are the echoes of starlight came from?
That just came to me this year, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I wanted a different artist name for streaming, and that came through, and then I said, okay, I like this. I'm gonna go with this for now.
That's very cool. So,
Yeah.
yeah, let's talk about what you, it seems like there's a lot of work you do creatively that is involved with helping people, and that's good. Is there anything you're doing just for you sometimes that there is a personal, I don't know if anyone else will ever like this, but I need to produce this music or do this art for me. That sometimes we write for ourselves. I podcast for myself often, right? This is
Yeah.
my purpose is to do
Yeah.
this. So talk to me a little bit of that, Greg.
Yeah, sure. I would say the visual art, I feel like it's one of them. It
Yeah.
crosses over. It does both. I love to create this. And then new music that I'm working on that's electronic based, more like organic deep house-ish vibes, playing around with some different samples and things of that nature. And but again, that feels like a crossover thing where it is really very much for me, but I do feel like other people will like it. And things I've created for the app, I felt the same way. Now, in certain instances of it, sometimes I feel in a service position from mixing meditations for it and doing that kind of thing. So I think that these things take different shapes and phases as we go on the journey. But yeah, everything seems to be a crossover. I don't know that I have anything at the moment that's like behind the curtain, if you
Okay,
will.
nothing
Yeah,
wrong with
but
that, Greg.
I know what you're talking about. I can
Yes, yeah, sometimes.
hear
How about is there, when are there artists that you go to now sometimes because you just want to enjoy the music, whether it's like in my case, Bruce Springsteen or Jason Isbell
Yeah,
or
of
someone?
course.
Yeah, talk to me a little bit about when you're become the fan and you're not listening necessarily as a professional or someone for work or working
Yeah.
on something for the app, is there something you pull on just because you feel like tapping your feet and nodding your head?
Oh, yeah, all the time. Of course. I was listening to George Michael earlier.
Yeah.
Somebody sent me a text a few days ago about freedom. Not
Yeah.
and then not about the song, and that just clicked. The song came, I sent them back the song, and next thing you know, I'm listening to George Michael for the last 2 days, just going, this is great, this is amazing, like this is, I'm dancing here, it's uplifting. And so these things happen. I listen to a lot of Fela Kuti. I don't know if you're familiar.
No, tell me a little bit.
incredible African artist, soul, you know, like 70s kind of soul vibes. There's some other groups that are amazing out of New York that do this, like the Budos band.
Okay.
And incredible. So it's like a lot of horns, like 12-piece bands with all the stuff, Rhodes, horns, all this. So that goes on. Then I'm always listening to some kind of like deep house, organic house. I really love Bonobo's work. I think he's a genius. It's whatever catches me.
I get that. Sometimes we do that.
Kenny Rogers might go on. Who knows?
Yeah, who knows? So, Greg, what should I've asked you that I haven't?
Wow. That's like knowing what you don't know.
Yes, exactly. But you know, the reason I ask this story is I tell this all the time. I had a guy on years ago, and after we hit end record, he said, next time, let me tell you about the time I got drunk with the E Street Band. What? How did you not lead with that story? Just in case you and little Steven you've gotten a deep philosophical discussion about yoga, I wanted to give you that chance to tell that story.
Man, is there anything? Nothing that's coming to mind at the moment.
You have the biggest smile on your face, though. I'm glad I made you laugh.
I don't know this.
Yeah. All right. Once again, tell people how to find your music and to find the app.
Yeah, sure. For the app, www.signs.app, S-I-N-E-S. And for me, gregpapania.com, or maybe easier, echoesofstarlight.com, because I won't have to spell that for people.
I will include both links in the show notes. All right, Greg, the only thing I have left is the Mary question.
Yes, let's do that.
So, yes, Jay Armstrong was an honors English teacher who's now retired, but he taught in the Philadelphia area, and he would give his students the lyrics to Thunder Road. Mm-hmm. And then they would read it, they'd study it if it was a poem, and then he would ask the question at the end of the class, does Mary get in the car? So, mm-hmm. Greg, that is your question. After listening to Thunder Road, do you think Mary gets in the car?
Absolutely.
Tell me why.
Wow, that's a beautiful song. To me, he's really singing about, he's not perfect, she's not perfect, life's not perfect, but we're here. Like, it's great. Let's do it. It's beautiful. And the music makes it feel like they're just riding out in the car. It feels uplifting. It feels joyous to me.
Yeah. One of my favorite answers is I had a guest who said, it depends. If it's the full orchestra band, the full E Street band, she absolutely gets in the car. When Bruce does it solo, because it's a slower, she doesn't get in the car because he's a little sad driving off by himself. Yeah, that's great. Greg, this was so much fun. I really appreciate it. I'm going to check out the app and do that. I look forward to, let's stay in touch. And if anything I can do in the future to help, let me know. There's a lot of pain out there in the world. And anything you can do to make it a little better is to be applauded. Yeah. So good job, my friend.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thanks for noticing. And I really appreciate you having me on your show.
All right. So listeners, check out the website. The link will be in the show notes, both for the app and his website. And I hope everyone remember to be safe, be kind, and we'll talk to you soon. Goodbye. I'm about to name some people who help me keep this podcast going. They are the wonderful members of my Patreon group. I appreciate each of them. You can learn how to be a patron by going to patreon.com, look for Set Lusting Bruce, and for a little as $5 a month, you can support the podcast and get access to unedited episodes. And as little a dollar a month, you get a handwritten thank you note from me and a shout out at least once a month thanking you in an episode. So, Sean, David and Jennifer, Jeff, Sylvan, Liz, Yetta, Steve, Coach Randy, Rob, Bella, John, Betsy, Levi, Liz, Stephen, and Steve, Dale, Terry, Chris, and Mary. All of you are amazing, and thank you for being part of this wonderful group. You know I love you.
You just heard the fun talking, hard rocking, music loving, album ranking, fan thinking, joy spreading, lyric reading, story sharing podcast that is the one, the only Set Listing Bruce. The theme for Set Listing Bruce was written by David Rosen, used by permission.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.